Welcome to another class of Alliance of Honorable Men. Excuse me. I'm glad to be back with you again. In this session, last session we were together, I told you that we're going to run a reference on the word ask in the New Testament. And the reason why I'm doing that is so that we can get, as I like to say so much, an apostolic view of the word ask as compared to a pastoral model view of the word ask. If you remember at the very first class we had, I began to use two words, God-centric and self-centric, meaning God-centered and self-centered. I began to talk about how we need to read the word of God from a God-centric point of view rather than a self-centric point of view. When you do that, you begin to read the word of God and the main underlying question is, what does God see or what does God want out of this scripture as compared to self-centered, which is, what can I get out of this scripture? And so we dealt with faith. We defined faith from an apostolic point of view, which is your assignment. We found out in Hebrews 11 and 6 that without my assignment, it's impossible to please God. We find that in Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, now my assignment is the very stuff or brings to reality the dreams of God, not our dreams, the dreams of God. If your dreams align with God, then your dreams will come to pass. So that leads me to dealing with faith. The first objective of faith, which we talked about, was the first objective of faith is to bring God's dreams to pass. Well, we've been taught that the objective of faith is to use as a tool to get what we want. Faith does produce what we want, but that's not its first objective. The first objective of faith is to bring the dreams of God to pass. We see that in Hebrews 11 and 1, and we see it in Hebrews 11 and 6. Matter of fact, Hebrews 11 and 6 says that we must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek who? Him. So that brings me to Matthew 6:33. Matter of fact, let's start off. Excuse me, Matthew 6:33. Let's start off there. Matthew 6:33. Tonight is a very excited class because we're going to deal with this word ask, and I'm going to prove biblically why sometimes you get what you ask for and why sometimes you don't. Now, let's be real. Let's be honest. As a Christian, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you've been taught that you have to believe God and that you have to get it by faith. You have to receive it by faith. You, whatever you believe in God for, whether it's a house, car, new job, you have to receive it by faith. In other words, your faith is going to get it to you. And so when we go to God, we begin to ask God for personal items. And we have to be in faith when we ask. And so that means some kind of way our faith is going to trigger God to bring to us what we want. And so if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you realize that, let's be honest, you hadn't gotten everything you wanted. If we're really honest, if you're honest with yourself, you'll see that you haven't gotten everything you wanted. Well, tonight, we're going to study this word ask, and we're going to see how to change that. Let's say it like this. We're going to shift from wanting to getting everything we ask to getting everything we desire. See, it's the difference. So in Matthew, the sixth chapter, let's start off there. Matthew, the sixth chapter, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, the 33rd verse. It says, but seek ye, and that word but is very important. We're going to go ahead and tell you why. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these what? Things will be added to you. Now, the question is, what things? Because I need to qualify this. Some people used to make this scripture and try to make this scripture super spiritual, meaning that things in the 33rd verse is talking about supernatural things, but that's not truth. Because this is the things in the 33rd verse has already been qualified by the 32nd verse. Let's read it. It says, for after all these what things do the Gentiles seek? Gentiles, those that don't know Christ, those that have not been introduced to Christ. What are they looking for? They're not looking for Christ. They don't know they need him. They're not looking for the Holy Spirit. They don't know he exists. They're not looking for peace. They're not looking for holiness. They're not looking for any of those things. They are looking for material, carnal things, houses, land, good life, money, good family. But look what the B part of that verse says. For your heavenly Father, look what it says, knows that ye have not want, but need of all these things. So whatever the Gentiles are seeking, the Heavenly Father knows you have need of all those things already. He knows you need a place to stay. He knows you need a car. He knows you need a bank account. He knows you need money in your bank account. He knows you need a good family. He knows you need these things. That's where the most important word in this passage comes in the 33rd verse. But simply means, okay, eliminate that. Eliminate the 32nd verse. Don't even think about it. Don't even focus on it. Don't even be concerned about it. But seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God, or God's ways of doing things, and his righteousness, or his way of doing them right. And what he said, all these what? Things will be added to you. Hope you're seeing this. So Jesus, that's who said this, is written in red, is in your Bible, it's written in red. Jesus has already qualified and already determined how material gain is going to happen in our lives. According to Matthew 6:33, when you seek first what God wants and his way of doing them, all of these things that the Gentiles seek will be added to your life. Automatically added to your life. So now the question is, am I wasting God's time and my time by going to God and asking him for personal items? All right, hold on. I know your mind probably tripping right now. All the scriptures are on the word ask, and we're going to go through them. But let's establish this first. He says, seek ye what? First. Seek ye first. Hebrews 11 said, but without faith is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek him. So now we got to rethink, what are we asking God for? When you're in prayer, what are you asking God for? Because of Matthew 6:33, if I can find out what God wants and get it done, now God is obligated to add what the Gentiles are seeking to my life. Are you seeing this? Matter of fact, let's go to earlier part of that chapter in the 9th verse. Let's go to the 9th verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's go to the 7th verse. Jesus talking, correct? This is Jesus talking. Seventh verse. Very simple. Why we know it's Jesus talking is written in red. Verse 7. But when ye pray, or when ye communicate with God, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. All right? In other words, don't waste your time on God's time. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of. What? The heavenly Father knows what we have need of before we ask him. So that means the seventh verse, that those that were going to God was going to God asking him for personal stuff. God, I thank you for my, God, I want my house. God, I want my house. God, I'm praying for my house. God, I'm praying for my car. God, I'm praying for a fat bank account. God, I'm praying for a husband. God, I'm praying for a wife. Here, Jesus is talking, say, be not therefore like unto them, for your heavenly Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. So that means God knows what you need and what you want before you ask him. So if he knows what we need and what we want before we ask him, why are we going to ask him for what he already knows that we need? This is key. See, I'm trying to get you to see the apostolic view of the word ask, rather than what we've been taught, the pastoral model. Now, this is important because when we start going through the lines of honorable men, it's going to seem like your needs are being ignored. It's going to seem like your desires are being ignored, but they're not. You are actually putting your needs and your desires front and center with God. Why? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because you are putting what God wants and needs at front and center of your life. Remember, another one of my favorite scriptures of the Bible is Galatians 6 and 7. It says, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So whatever you do is what you're going to reap. So if you are sowing your attention, your focus on what God wants and what he needs, that means God is going to sow his attention on what you want and what you need. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't go after the stuff. The heavenly Father already knows you need that stuff. Don't go after it. Go after what he wants so he can add those things to you. All right, you getting this? So now we see that vain repetitions. What do you mean by vain repetitions? Other words, we go and ask God about stuff that he already knows we need, even before we ask. So Jesus said in verse 9, he said, after this manner, or Jesus is saying this is a prototypical prayer that you pray to the Father. A prototypical prayer. You don't have to pray this exact way, but this is a prototypical prayer. And Jesus said, I want you to catch the concept of how I'm praying. Because Jesus gave his example. Jesus, throughout the Bible, he gave his examples of it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus went in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Father, look, if you could do this another way, if you got another way you want to get this done, let God, now it's time to speak up. He said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Jesus didn't go in prayer asking God to do something personal for him. Jesus communicated with God about what he wanted to get done. I hope you're catching this. This is going to help you. Jesus said in verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What you want, come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, Jesus gave us what I like to call a skeleton prayer. In other words, he stripped out all the details and gave us a basic prayer that we ought to be praying. Let's go through this prayer and see what Jesus was really asking for. Notice the word ask. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Thy kingdom come. All right, God, I want your ways of doing things to come. And I want your will to be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, what reference did Jesus make off of this? Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew 4:4. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So Jesus is asking God, what do you want done? God, what do you want to happen? God, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will that is in heaven, that you, whatever you want in heaven, whatever you ask and whatever you desire to be done, I want it to be done here on earth. He said, lead us not in temptation. God, guide me the right way. He's saying, for yours is the kingdom. Your way is the only way, God. So we give you the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now I have one question. Now remember now, Jesus said, after this matter, therefore pray ye. Got one question for you. Let me ask you this way. How many personal items did Jesus ask for in this prayer? Ponder that. How many personal items did Jesus ask for in this prayer? If you listed anything personal, you haven't caught the prayer. You haven't caught the prayer. And if you listed anything personal, you still thinking from a pastoral model or a self-centric way of reading this scripture. Because when you truly read the scripture, Jesus didn't ask for anything personal. He didn't ask for any personal items. He asked God, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done. Give me this day my daily bread. And that's in reference to Matthew 4:4. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So Jesus is telling us and giving us the diagram, the blueprint, the layout of how we get Matthew 6:33 to operate in our lives. See, when you ask for something, that means you are going after it. Hopefully you have your Bible sitting in front of you. Hopefully you're following with me and we go in the Bible. If I was to come to you and said, may I have your Bible? That means that I am going after your Bible. I am coming to get it. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33 that we ought to seek first. Seek what? First. Seek what first? Seek what first? The kingdom of God, or God's ways of doing things. So when I go to God and I'm asking God for all these personal items, that means I'm going after the stuff. That means when I ask God, I'm going after it. When the stuff is designed to come after me. See, the words are talking about the law of attraction. The words has been come up with that. That's Bible. The law of attraction is Bible. God said in Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in Lord, and what's going to happen? He will give you the desires of your heart. What's the first thing? Delight yourself who? Where? In the Lord. That simply means seek him first. Go to Hebrews 10. Watch this. We're going back to Matthew 6:30. Go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. We may have to take two classes on this word ask, because it, The thought process is so revolutionary because we've been taught for so long that when you need something from God, go and ask him. When you need something personal from God, go and ask him. So it causes us to go ask God for personal items. It causes God to ask us for stuff that he already knows we need. Hebrews 10 and 36. Hebrews 10, 36, it says, "For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promises." Now that word "might" there is based on you. That word "might" there is based on what are you desiring. Now, man, you can desire some stuff. Nothing wrong with desiring. Matter of fact, the Psalms 37 and 4 is a play on words to me. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." God will not only give you the item, he will give you the want. You desire, he'll give you the want for it and fulfill the want when you delight yourself in him. So I'm not telling you not to desire anything. I desire a lot of stuff. I desire to have the best. You should desire to have the best. But how you go about getting the best, Jesus laid the blueprint out for us. You have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You might and you might not. That might is conditional. Why is that word there? Because I thought if I do the will of God, it's automatically going to get what I... If you ain't desiring nothing, if you desire nothing, that's what you're going to get. So you can do the will of God and desire nothing, and God will fulfill your desire. So if you desire nothing and God fulfill your desire, what he gonna give you? Nothing. That's why that word "might" is there. So in your life, you need to eliminate that word "might" by having desires. So you can have desires, it just don't go after them. When you ask God for those things, you're going after them. The only way you ask God for something that may seem like it's personal, only if it's going to help you accomplish what he's called you and assigned you to do. Life has just become easier for you because now your focus is not on your stuff. Your focus is on him, and he can fulfill every desire. Now, it takes a moment to shift, because what happens, the enemy sometimes has gotten us into situations where we need a lot of stuff. We need to be out of debt. We need to pay this. We need to take care of this. We need to get this. But that doesn't change the process or the blueprint for which Jesus laid out. The quickest way to get your needs met is to focus on the needs of God. That's the quickest way to get your needs met is to focus on the needs of God. Go back to Matthew 6:33. Let's watch this. Well, let me prove it to you. Then we're going to start running a reference on the word "ask." Matthew 6:33. Let's look at the sixth chapter. Let's look at verse 25. Watch this. Let's go to verse 24. Now you can understand this scripture. Now you can understand verse 24. Verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon," or the spirit of money. You can't serve both. So you got to choose one. So when I go, is it possible? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Is it possible that Jesus was making reference to that when I go and ask God for personal items, I am trying to use God to serve mammon? Oh, my God. Is it possible that when I go to God and ask God for personal material items, I am using God to try to serve mammon? See, I cannot serve God and mammon, but I can serve God, and God can make mammon serve me. Watch this. Now you understand verse 24, why Jesus put that verse in there, why Jesus said that. Look at verse 25. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you should put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Jesus is not talking about not figuring out what you're going to put on in the morning. You need to look in the mirror and make sure you look presentable. What Jesus is saying is, don't focus on where you're going, where you're going to get the money from to buy your clothes, where you'll get the money from to eat, where you going. He said not to focus on that. He said not to focus on that. Don't overthink it. Don't focus on it. He's not saying you finna have lunch and you trying to decide on what you want to eat. No, you better decide what you want to eat or you're going to go hungry. You better decide. What he's saying is don't overthink it. Don't get carried away with trying to figure out how you're going to get the money to buy your food, how you're going to get the money to buy your clothes, how you get the money to buy your house, how you get the money to take the vacation, how you're going to get the money to enjoy life. He said you're not to overthink it. He said, behold, now listen to this, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, they can't even sow like us. Neither do they reap, nor gather in the barn, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Yes, you are. You have to, you can sow and you can reap. And you're the apple of God's eye. And you his son and his daughter. Verse 27 is what I want to get to. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Jesus simply saying, how many of y'all have added to your life by you doing somebody, you taking a thought, you figuring it out? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little assignment? Jesus said, you're not even focusing on your assignment. Therefore, take no thought, verse 31, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things, do the Gentiles seek? For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them before you ask. Wow. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus got so specific that he goes to the 34th verse and says this. Take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus was saying, stay in the present moment. Remember, go back to the prayer. God, give us this day our daily bread. Man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds a continual flow of words out of his mouth. Other words, God wants to spend time and talk to you on a daily basis. Don't focus on tomorrow. Don't worry about 3 years from now, 5 years from now, because what you do today will determine what happens to you tomorrow. What you do today will determine what happens to you a year from now. What you do today with your money will determine how much you're going to have in the future. See how much, the thing that got us bogged down is because we've been in a self-centric view of the Word of God, we've been trying to use the Word of God and manifest things ourselves. So it takes time to unlearn that way of thinking. The world system, watch this. The world system is totally focused on accumulation. Let me define. You know what a savings account is for me? Let me redefine what a savings account, talking about your money. What a savings account is for me. A savings account is a place I store my money that I don't have yet instructions for yet. I'm going to say that again. My savings account is not a rainy day fund. It's not an emergency fund. My savings account is a place I store my money that I don't have instructions for yet. Say it one more time. My savings account is a place where I store my money for which I do not have instructions for yet. God is my source. So now if God is my source, when I go to God, I'm not going to God with mundane material item requests. I'm going to God and say, God, what is it do you want? What you got planned for me today? Open my eyes to it, God. Let me be alert to see, who am I supposed to witness to today, God? What am I supposed to do for you today, God? Who on the job you want me to touch today, God? Who in my business I'm going to run across when I go to sell a certain item? Who you want? God, do you want me to? Okay, God, it might be a sale opportunity, but if I hear you prompting me, I'm going to set that sale opportunity aside and begin to minister to that person. Not even worry about the sale, because you are my source. Who are you going to send into my store today? Sometimes some people are going to come in. You might own a business, a storefront, or you might own a whatever business. They might come into your business thinking they want what you have, what you're selling. But they might be coming in there for Jesus and they don't know it. But you don't know it because the Holy Spirit alerts you to it. Are you willing to put that sale aside for his glory? Remember, seek ye first. Watch this. Whatever a man soweth. So if you put that one sale aside, how many other people God going to send to you? Oh, my goodness. God has set up a fail-proof system. You just got to trust him. And you can't trust God if you don't spend time with him, if you don't ask him what he wants. So now when I ask, that means I'm going after. So when I go to God and I go and I'm going to God and I ask him for his will, that means I'm seeking him first. I hope you're catching this concept. Are you getting this concept of going after God's will? Finding out what he wants rather than going asking for what you want. Because asking him for what you want really is not going to move him, because he's already planned and already designed how to get to you what you're desiring. Next class, we get together. We're going to push Alonzo and Otterman off one more week. We're going to get into it. But I got to get you to understand this, because when we get into Alonzo and Otterman, we start getting into this book. I've already gave you the exam on chapters 1 and 2. Nothing was mentioned about your desires. and that's how the whole book is going to be, because the lines of outer men is going to put you smack dab in the middle of Matthew 6:33. And once you hit that honey hole, once you hit that sweet spot, things going to begin to show up in your life, stuff that you're not even asking for, stuff that you didn't even know you wanted. It'll show up. And when you get it, you'll be like, oh, my God, this, I like this. I'm enjoying this. Listen, Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Oh, my God. All you have to do is change your focus. Dr. Walker said it to me like this one time. He said, and it happened to be in Hurricane Katrina right after it happens. He's in Gretna, which is right outside of New Orleans. Him and I was talking. He said, Leroy Jr., he said, I'm not about to get in survival mode. He said, I'm not getting survival mode. I'm not surviving. I'm thriving. Now, mind you now, the whole area has been wiped out. His church, home, everything been wiped out. Congregation wiped out. And the main thing he told his congregation is, we're not going to get in survival mode. What he meant by that? He meant, I'm not going to get in this mentality like I'm clawing and scraping to stay on top. I am already on top. God is my source. I'm just going to have to obey his voice and flow with him and let these things come to me. You look at him now. Everything's been restored. And being restored even better. You have to get out of survival mode. Get out of survival mentality. You have to make God your source. The only way you make God your source is that you start spending time with him so you can trust him and his word. And so you can shift from logos to rhema. You can shift from what he has said to what he is saying. So you can be Matthew's 4:4. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now, we found a way that we can make this, we can speed this process up. I can go to God and say, God, what you want? God, what you need? So next week, we're going to start running reference on John. Look, I give you some scriptures now so you can start studying. You look at Matthew 6 and 8. Look at Matthew 7 and 7. Look at Matthew's 18 and 19. Now, you're in control of the video. You can pause it if I'm going too fast. You can pause it, rewind, pause it, hit a scripture, and write it down so you can go study it, right? John 14 and 13. You're going to see some phrases that I want you to see, and we're going to study them next week. John 15 and 7. John 16, verses 23 through 30. All this is going to be Jesus talking. Then you go to James 4 and 3. Then John 5 and 14. I want you to study those scriptures because we're going to come back and go each through one of those scriptures so I can prove to you the apostolic view of the word ask. Because remember now, don't forget this. When you ask somebody for something, that means you're going after it. When you ask somebody how they're doing, that means you want to know, you're going after, you want to know how they're feeling. When you ask somebody for a favor, that means you want something from them, you're going after it. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So when you ask God for his kingdom, the stuff is going to automatically be added. I bless you. I look forward to being with you next week. Have a great one.